BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Molly. I'm one of the education nurses, and today I'm joined by two lovely people called Jodie and Hannah, who are involved with CNM. So Jodie and Hannah, could you just introduce yourselves and maybe tell us or the audience a little bit about what is CNM?
Yeah, sure. So I'll go first. My name is Jodie Whitehouse and I am the founder and CEO of the charity Caring Matters Now. And as a charity, we support children and adults affected by congenital melanocytic nevus. And often people ask us, what is that? So it's a type of birthmark. Also, people refer to it as moles, and it can cover up to 80% of the body. So congenital means present at birth. Melanocytic is to do with the melanocytes. So melanocytes are cells in everyone's skin and hair that produces pigment melanin. So this is what gives us our hair and skin colour. And then nevus just means it's a birthmark. So CMN can cover, as I say, up to 80% of the body. It can be dark brown, hairy, lumpy, and also can be very itchy on the skin as well. And currently there's no effective treatment for CMN.
Brilliant. Yes, my name is Hannah Cree and I'm the head of support for Caring Matters Now. And what we have found is that as we've come to understand more about CMN as a condition, there are many different expressions of CMN. So CMN is caused by a genetic mutation that can happen as early as 3 weeks in pregnancy. And we've discovered the genes. We work in very close partnership with a team in Great Ormond Street, led by Professor Veronica Kinsler. And they, several years ago, found several genes that were responsible for CMN. And that research is ongoing. We'll come on to that later on. We've had an exciting research breakthrough in recent months. But really, I guess my journey with CMN began 10 years ago when my son was born with CMN, and it's been quite a journey to come to understand more about that. But as I came into role in the charity of head of support, I realised that, yes, number one, the condition is very isolating. It's 1 in 20,000 births are affected by CMN. But within that, you have people who feel further isolated because of their expression and experience of CMN. So to sort of expand on that, as Jodie said, there's some CMN that can be raised and lumpy, very nodular, to a point where it can actually cause limitations on quality of life and mobility. And then there's others that are very thin and fragile and can be very uncomfortable to live with every day. There's other people who have internal CMN and that can cause neurological complications. And that's basically because the pigment, if that mutation happens so young in the mum's tummy, that pigment can splatter out not only into the skin, but also into the nervous system. And whenever that happens, it causes obstructions, or it can do. Now, some pigment can stay within the brain and spinal cord and cause no issues whatsoever, but that has to be very carefully monitored. So one of the first things we recommend is that medical professionals who see CMN would refer a patient for an MRI. And I guess going by my accent, we've got two interesting accents this morning between Jodie and I. We're always very aware of that, but I'm from Northern Ireland and not very much is understood about CMN at all here. Unfortunately, my son Elijah has his CMN doesn't affect him in any neurological or medical complexity way. So we stayed with our medical professional and I've really wanted to teach them over the years what CMN is. But for other people, that's not the case. And, you know, they're in this really difficult journey of also being with medical people who don't fully understand. And that can lead to, I guess, a real lack of confidence in medical care that you access as well. But yeah, I guess my passion for being involved in the charity is that I don't want anyone to feel that isolation and loneliness that I did in those early days. It took us nearly a year to have the diagnosis correctly given for Elijah. And then obviously he went down the MRI route and things like that. Jodie, is there anything you want to add?
No, I agree with everything you said, Hannah. I think for me, I have CMN myself, so it covers about 60% of my skin, so all of my back, and it wraps around my stomach, and I have smaller satellites, like moles, on the rest of my skin too. So it wasn't until I was 15 that I was actually given a diagnosis for the condition. So up until that point, I'd had over 30 operations in our local hospital here in Liverpool, just because the doctors thought this is a big birthmark and we need to try and remove it. I think there was fear of it becoming cancerous. So I had lots of surgery that just wasn't effective. They were trying different types of treatment because they didn't have any information about the condition itself. And it was only then when I stumbled upon a dermatologist at Great Ormond Street Hospital who was able to give me a name for the condition. And it was through this dermatologist that he asked back in 1996 if my family and I would consider supporting other children who he was in contact with through the hospital who had CMN. And we said yes, because like Hannah said, we didn't want other families to go through the isolation that we did and to have all the questions about the condition that we did without any answers. So we started to support families back in 1996, and that was the birth of Caring Matters Now. And so today we support near enough 800 families affected by CMN. Majority are in the UK, but about 29% of our membership are international members too. So going from Ireland right throughout Europe and across the world. So the charity has really exploded, is what I would say, particularly over the past 10 years. And now we have a team of 5 members of staff who work for the charity. So myself and Hannah and 3 other members. And we have a really dedicated team of trustees who help to lead the charity. And we have a volunteer strategy. So we have over 20 volunteers now who provide grassroots support to families affected by CMN across the UK and beyond.
You both were saying that, you know, the process for you both personally was quite a long process to be diagnosed. And I know that you've mentioned that sometimes this abnormality can be found when the baby's developing. How long in general does it take for somebody to be diagnosed, and what is that kind of process look like for families? It might be different all over the UK, but it seems like people might not know a lot about it. So is it through a general practitioner, or is it normally through having to go through a dermatologist that a diagnosis would happen for people?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And it's something that we do see an improvement in generally, in terms of how early people are getting diagnosis. We did have a baby last week that was born with CMN, and on day one knew that it was CMN. However, that's not consistent across the UK, and it's not the case for some people, which is why one of our main charity aims is raising awareness. At the minute, it's really about having medical professionals who know how to recognise CMN as what it is, and then have the confidence to know to signpost. I guess there's two, whenever I think about our work with medical professionals, there's two strands. One is to have that link with specialist medical professionals who are, you know, world leaders in CMN, which we have in Great Ormond Street and in St. Guy's and Thomas's Hospital. But the other is to have well-informed medical professionals who recognise it and know where to signpost it. One of the things that Jodie mentioned there earlier was, you know, how CMN can be sometimes misunderstood as being a cancerous skin tumour, I guess. You know, it would be referred to as a benign tumour, but it doesn't present itself. I guess when I think of this, I always think of those posters that you see around how you know a mole is cancerous. Mm-hmm. And every time as a CMN parent, that brings fear for me, because CMN does not go by any of those rules. And in fact, it looks scary. You know, it does look like it could have potential problems, and I can understand how medical professionals feel when they see it. I guess one of the most important things for me as head of support, but also as a parent, is how a medical professional conducts themselves in those first moments when a baby is born, because you just take in every word that is said and every fear or emotion that's in that room, and you take it in as a parent as well. And so I think raising awareness, knowing how to recognize CMN, knowing where to signpost, and to signpost both to us and to the relevant clinics in London, and also to know that CMN can look very it can look very different to average normal skin, and it can still not be cancerous. But the lumps and bumps in CMN do look similar to cancerous nodules or growths. And so that's why we need that specialist referral as early as possible.
I know you were saying about kind of different expressions of CNM and the kind of different presentation. So is there anything that's maybe like a hallmark or kind of something consistent that healthcare professionals might need to look for if a patient's attending, for example, GP practice, or maybe like a nurse clinic or something like that, that we might be able to recognize and then potentially signpost, or, you know, maybe think, oh, do we need to send a referral to the dermatology team? Is there anything kind of in that realm that you guys would suggest?
Yeah, so I guess, again, to go back to your question, it could be any medical professional involved that could refer and signpost on. What would they need to recognise to know that it's CMN? CMN can be singular or multiple. So a single hairy brown birthmark can still be CMN. The difference is that if it is a single CMN, a single birthmark or mole, it hasn't then, so CMN is now understood as a mosaic disorder, which again, if we go back to that paint splatter that happens in the womb, that is basically that this mutation happens and spreads that mosaic pattern around the body. That means that someone would have multiple CMN on their skin. So it used to be that there had to be 5 on the skin for it to be diagnosed as CMN. That's not the case. A single CMN can be CMN. But CMN syndrome, or as a mosaic disorder, is whenever there is multiple, which could then go on to affect the nervous system and brain and have other complications. I guess the MRI part isn't then as important for a single CMN. And we have lots of parents that come to us and say, we just have one single birthmark. Is this not just a birthmark? You know, and I guess what we're able to say is that because it's a single CMN, you're in a lot of, you're a safer category, if you like, because it's not the same mosaic pattern or mosaic disorder that we know. However, if there are multiple, then there's other checks that need to be done.
And would it be kind of, best practice to kind of almost help the parents, because there's a lot of uncertainty, especially I assume in kind of birthmarks, of, you know, saying to them about what to look for that might be a worrying type sign, particularly if somebody does have CNM, you know, what might need the parents to make sure that they're, you know, checking and looking at the child's skin to make sure that there's nothing, you know, worrying or sinister going on, particularly because it might seem, you know, different colors, you were saying, different textures. Is there things that nurses or healthcare professionals can say to maybe reassure parents about that?
I think the best thing that a medical practitioner in that position can do is introduce them to ourselves as a community, to reassure them in the room, to bring some support literature that we can provide, or our website. I guess to say that you're aware that CMN is a rare skin condition, that you're aware it presents itself differently, but that this could be totally normal for your child's CMN. So I think this isn't something that can be taken on by families very quickly in a couple of days. It's a journey in those not to kind of 3 years for a family to really get to grips as to how their child's skin presents itself. And quite often a medical professional who is specialised in CMN will look at it in one glance and be able to say whether there's anything concerning about it at all. Typically, if something was on the CMN that was concerning, it would appear quickly, it would grow quickly, and it would look very aggressive. That being said, there are things that look strange or alarming on CMN that can be totally normal. So that's why it's so important to be linked into Caring Matters Now as a community and specialist medical professionals who are familiar with CMN.
I know you were both talking about, you know, your experiences both as a parent and as a patient yourself. Is there particular, you know, experiences that you've had from medical practitioners that, you know, you wish went a little bit differently, or things that were said, you know, maybe about your skin or about your appearance that, you know, you wish kind of you could wave a magic wand and change those words? Because I know for a lot of patients, something said about their child might stick in their mind and they might blame themselves for that, which obviously isn't the intent of the practitioner. It's just the way that it's come across.
I think for me, I've had many different responses from medics about my CMN. So I think there's a lot more education now. So I'm going back, I'm 44, so we're going back some years. So when I was a child, I would go into the hospital for just a regular checkup with my local dermatologist, but there would be about 30 medical students in the room. So I was used to almost be part of their education to introduce CMN to them. And that was fine. And actually, for me, because I've always had CMN, it was very normal that I was different. My CMN was part of who I am, as part of my identity. And I think because from a very young child, I would be looked at and I do stand out from the crowd, that to me is quite normal. I think where it becomes difficult is where doctors don't listen. So, for example, going to see the GP and asking for a referral to the CMN medical clinic at Great Ormond Street can sometimes be a real stumbling block for patients. And I've experienced that once, where the GP can look and think it's just a birthmark without understanding that there can be a whole host of complications attached to having CMN. So I think for the medical profession to listen to the patients and of parents who are caring for a child with CMN, and to be able to provide that referral to Great Ormond Street to have a real diagnosis. And every CMN is unique and different. So every child or adult would need to be cared for independently and differently to the next. So I think for me, the biggest thing anyone can do is when they have a patient come to them who does have CMN, is for them to be able to receive that referral to either Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children or to Guy's and St Thomas's for adults with CMN. And that's a new clinic, so it's really exciting. So when children are born with CMN, it's quite easy to get a referral to Great Ormond Street and to receive the best possible care actually in the world. And when that child becomes 16, they were then referred to their local dermatologist who didn't have much understanding of CMN. And that was quite scary for parents. Where now a recent clinic has opened in Guy's and St Thomas's, and there's a CMN expert who is caring for these children. So there's a real good transition now from child care into adult medical care. Yeah, Hannah, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, we've done quite a bit of work in the last year. We had a young ambassador of ours attend work experience with us last summer, and she actually wrote our charity's first publication for the British Journal of Dermatology. And it was about the challenges of moving on to adult care when you have a rare skin condition. And one of the things that we've done after that in response to her work was to develop a self-advocacy pack for young adults who are attending adult appointments for the first time. Because I guess I know in my experience, every appointment is, you have to take a deep breath before you go in, because you know that you're going to be advocating for your child, that you're going to have people who haven't seen CMN before in terms of some of the things that have been said to us over the years, it's been things like either he has cancer or he will in the future, which is one of the early day comments that was made. And then a more recent appointment was, does his CMN always look like this? But said in a very kind of shocked way, which didn't help me, even though I feel like I understand CMN as a condition, it still unnerved me. So then you put a 16 to 18 year old in that situation, who then all of a sudden has to direct their own care. And that's really nerve wracking, not to even add the fact that they're also young adults who maybe feel a bit protective over their skin, don't want people looking at their skin. It's very personal. So what we want to do is equip both medical professionals and that person going into that room, you know, to understand what can you get out of an appointment, what can you expect to happen with the medical professional, and what do you need to be able to share about CMN, but also that understanding that, yeah, this is a rare condition. So we have to understand that a medical person will always need to ask certain questions to fully understand your care and your experience. So yeah, I guess my summary of that is just real care over the words that a medical professional says, and thought over what the journey has been to get to that point, to being in that room on that day.
And I think that's, you know, an important point to, you know, think about and to consider, particularly for young people, you know, if they are moving into that adult service from a pediatric service, it's a very different service, it's a very different clinic environment. So, you know, that's really great to hear that that's something that you guys have kind of helped raise awareness and understanding of. Is there other particular things that, you know, CNM has helped raise awareness of for healthcare professionals or for kind of the general public? Is that kind of something that you guys do as well?
Yes, I don't know if Harold was going to speak then, but yes, we really work hard to raise awareness with the medical professions. So we attend a lot of the national conferences each year. So we go to the British Association of Dermatologists conference, we go to the Nursing Group conference, and we also go to the Royal College of Midwives conference as well. And we get a lot of engagement at these conferences. People take away our medical booklets. They may like sign up to our charity to receive a 6-monthly medical update on all the research that's happening at the Francis Crick Institute. But then for the general public, we did a big campaign, and we're continuing to do it since 2016. So it's called How Do You See Me Now, with CMN in the title. And we had 30 beautiful portrait photographs taken of children and adults affected by CMN from around the world. So there was 13 countries represented from 5 continents. And these photographs were printed and framed and exhibited in the Oxo Tower in London. And we had over 8,000 people come to view the gallery space over 10 days. And we were on every major news channel in the UK. So BBC picked up, Sky, ITV, Channel 5 News. And it really raised the profile of CMN. The aim of the campaign was to change negative perceptions of visible differences, and for people to see the beauty of CMN and beyond CMN, to see the beauty of the person. And those images now have been exhibited at some of the medical conferences that we attend. And also hospitals are reaching out to us now. So we're looking to exhibit them at Adam Brooks Hospital in Cambridge next year. So that has really helped us to raise awareness and the profile of CMN and educate the medical profession as well.
And I think it's also nice for a patient maybe to see themselves, you know, particularly if it is a young child, they can see that adult, you know, showing off their CNM and say, oh, look, hey, you know, this person is able to Absolutely. Be accepting of it. And you know, loads of people are seeing it and think it's wonderful and think it's great, and that's really positive, I think.
Yeah, there's a tension, I guess, between the celebration of CMN and embracing the skin that you're in, which we so want our members to do. We want our members to be able to live well with CMN. But then the other side of that is that there's people who do face a lot of complexities in their life or hard decisions In particular, I guess there's a lot of conversation around surgery, and quite often within medical professionals, there'll be some will side with surgery always being the best solution. We aren't against surgery for CMN. You know, there are many of our community who have had surgery either to part of their CMN or to all of it. There are different methods that work and others that don't. And I guess we are here to support our members to make informed decisions when it comes to that, but also that our members know that just because they've had surgery to remove or change a part of their CMN doesn't mean that they don't still have CMN and that they still have a place here for ongoing support, because I guess after surgery as well, it can lead to tightness of skin, itching, you know, all those things. So our care and support continues with that. And I guess what How Do You See Me Now did as well was started a conversation about the people who maybe didn't feel seen within that, and the other expressions of CMN that people don't feel can be seen in a photograph as confidently. And so what we really are focusing on at the minute is how we raise the profile for every expression and experience of CMN and bring those people along on the journey as well. And I guess in that sense, there's a awareness of visible difference, but also of CMN as a rare disease. And it can be either or it can be both.
And you guys have kind of mentioned some research that's been going on in regards to kind of raising that awareness and kind of in terms of, you know, the genetic aspects as well. Is there kind of anything that's new that's come along in terms of treatment or research or understanding that we've now learned more about as time has gone on?
Yeah, well, this podcast is perfect timing because this year in June, a journal article was written by Professor Veronica Kinsler and her research team, who are based at Great Ormond Street Hospital and the Francis Crick Institute, because they've designed a new genetic therapy that has silenced the NRAS gene, which is what develops CMN. And they've managed to silence this gene in cells in a dish in the lab and in mice. And so because they've been able to silence this, they've been able to do it through the genetic therapy called silencing NRA. And as a result, when they gave this genetic therapy to the cells in the lab, the CMN reduced and disappeared. It was silenced within the space of 48 hours. And so because of this huge research breakthrough, Professor Kinsler is now working to get this treatment to clinical trials, which we expect to happen within the next 2 years. So this is a huge breakthrough because we don't have any effective treatments for CMN. And this is the first one that has been developed. And it's really, we're really hopeful. So over the past 27 years as a charity, we've given £1.7 million to the CMN research, to Professor Kinsler and her team. And they have worked so hard over the years to really try and develop a treatment that'll be effective for all expressions of CMN. And we actually think we found it. And so this is a really exciting chapter in the life of Care and Matters now for us to be able to support the research team, to work in partnership with them, to get this genetic therapy into clinic within the next 2 years. So I don't know, Hannah, you want to add anything about this?
Yeah, I guess we touched on the risk of cancer and melanoma at the beginning, and I guess trying to put a positive spin on that, that not all CMN is cancerous, but there is a real risk that because CMN results from the gene responsible for cell growth being stuck on, you know, so it hyperproduces, meaning that it can really easily form cancerous cells. There's been other medical trials and things that have been found that do part of this process, but this newly found research breakthrough, we hope will do it all and reduce the risk of melanoma as well. So we're really excited about that, I guess. Again, it's attention to be held because there's people who don't want their CMN to be reversed or removed, and that is fine. But there are also people whose lives would be changed by this treatment. And so we really want our members to have the choice of effective treatments, which is something that we haven't had. It was always sort of said that CMN could be fatal, and that CMN, and it can, you know, we have lost people along the way, but every incidence of melanoma doesn't have to be fatal anymore with CMN, and that's what we've seen through research. So we're excited about that prospect for our members.
And I think, like you say, it's important, hopefully, that there is other options. You know, you were talking about surgery. Is there a general treatment course that somebody would have for CNM, or is it usually generally surgery would be the main option for people if they wanted to, for example, remove an area? Is that the main kind of treatment course for them at the moment?
Yeah, there isn't a treatment. There's lots of ointments and creams that can help. There's been some trials to reduce nodular CMN and itch, but the only other option at the minute currently is surgery, which our experience to date has been that lots of different surgeons try lots of different things, and that unfortunately people endure treatments and surgeries and healing that isn't successful and is very painful and traumatizing. So if there could be a more effective, smoother process, we would want that for those members who would like to choose that option.
So kind of with this new research and with all the kind of advocacy that you guys have done, what's going to be happening in the future? What do you kind of envisage CNM doing in the future? You know, as we go towards closer to the new year, what are the plans for that?
Yeah, I think the most important thing going forward is that we are supporting our members, that we are open in the journey, that we bring them into discussion, and that we open conversation about these choices and where we're at with that research. And we're also partnering in discussions with other charities who are a little bit further ahead in the journey to us in terms of clinical trials, to understand what could come up along the way so that we can best support our members. But really, our main aim of our charity is to support people affected by CMN, both children and adults. So that is what will continue at this moment and into the future.
And I think for us, the charity, as well as support, we've got two other aims, which are awareness and research, which you've spoken about together just now. And so for us, awareness, because we've got this research breakthrough, we want to raise awareness of this potential new treatment, particularly within the medical field. And we'll continue to do that, working in partnership with Professor Veronica Kinsler. And we'll continue to help raise funds for research. So there's many research projects that are happening that we fund, and they're all leading towards this one main aim of finding effective treatments for all expressions of CMN. So we'll continue to do that. And we have an incredible community of families who are so motivated and dedicated to help us and to journey with us and to partner with us to raise funds for this research to happen. So without the community of families, we actually wouldn't be where we are today. And we have real hope for the future and for everybody affected by CMN.
And I think, you know, it's a powerful thing that your charity provides that community, particularly because it sounds like these people are really isolated, a lot of stigma. You know, maybe the parents feel alone because it is a rare condition. They might be the only person in that city or in that area that is the one patient with CNM attending their local dermatology department. So it sounds like it's almost quite an isolating experience. For kind of nurses maybe being involved with patients who have CNM, is kind of the main resource just simply to signpost them to yourselves? Is there specific support that we could highlight that you guys offer? I know you were talking about the youth advocacy. Is there something that we could suggest that might help families?
Yeah, so the best thing is to send people to our website, caringmattersnow.co.uk. They will have an option to register as a member there. And once they do, they're welcomed into the charity with an email and also offered a one-to-one support consultation with myself to discuss through any questions, fears, concerns, anything that they need to know in that moment of time. But we have an extensive support pathway which spans right from that 0 to 3 age, right into adulthood, through school support, into teenage years, and then into young adulthood, and then into adulthood as well. And we're actually continually developing our resources that we provide as we get into further discussion with our members. And so our next step is developing an adult support guide. And yeah, I guess with that, our members have journeyed with us and developing all of those things. So there is support at every stage. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to say to families is that we're here with you on the journey, and that we have something planned for your child the whole way through. And so the best place would be our website, and then to go from there.
If there is kind of three things that you could give us in your own patient experience, or as your kind of experience as a mum, to kind of wrap up the end of this podcast, what will be the kind of three things that you would suggest to nurses or healthcare professionals that they remember about this?
Yeah, so I think firstly, be present in the room with the emotions, with the experience of that person, with the shock. I think number two, don't be afraid to signpost and to say that you don't understand this, but you're going to get them the best support. And number three, just commit to learn more and to be familiar with CMN, and to ask questions if you need any support. We're here as well for medical professionals.
And what about you, Jodie? What would be your three things that you would want to say, or for people to kind of leave this podcast with?
I think I couldn't put it any better than Hannah's put it. They're exactly the three points that we'd want to get across. And I just think that seeing a child with CMN, like Hannah said, it can be a shock for a medical profession. It's okay to own that, and it's okay to accept you may not have the answers, but to also know that people do. So to be able to go away and to know that Carer Matters Now is available for medical professionals as well as patients with CMN, we've got so many resources that we can provide for medical professionals to help them understand CMN, bite-sized information as well as more in-depth information. So for anybody to reach out to us, and they can sign up as a friend of the charity and receive ongoing information and support as we understand CMN better ourselves as well. And just so anyone with CMN knows, they are not on their own. There's a bigger community than they can imagine, a supportive community where real friendships are made. And for medical professionals to signpost patients as early in their journey as possible to us as a charity will really make a difference to their lives.
And I think it's really good that, you know, there is maybe those resources. So for example, if a child is attending Great Ormond Street, but they live in Ireland, or they live, you know, in Scotland, that their local team can have, oh, okay, we don't know a lot, maybe we can get some of those resources so we can understand a little bit better about what happens and what we might need to look for. So I think that's a really useful tip that nurses could also use if they notice, oh, hey, this patient's coming today and they've got this, I don't really know a lot about it, maybe I'll just quickly read up before I see this patient in clinic, just to make sure I've got some brief information about it. So that's a really good tip. And it's a really good tip as well to signpost these patients, because quite a lot of medical professionals, unfortunately, our appointment times are very short sometimes and don't allow the sufficient, you know, you really want to give that support, but you might not actually have that availability to really be in depth with the patients or with the family to support them, whereas you guys could be there to give that more in-depth one-to-one support. So that's also a really great tip. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. And would you mind just leaving what your website is at the very end, if that's okay, just for people to remember? And yeah, thank you so much for joining. I think I've learned quite a lot about it, and definitely will go away and read some more up about all the new things that are happening in the Caring Matters Now world.
Thank you. And thank you, Molly. We have found that the BDNG has been so supportive of us, has given us lots of opportunity and platform to raise awareness. And that's what really matters here. So thank you for the opportunity. And again, yes, if you do want to explore our website further, it's www.caringmattersnow.co.uk. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.